Just take a minute. We'll just pause and invite the Holy Spirit just to come. Lord, you are faithful, as we've been singing, and thank you for your faithfulness through these times together, and what you're doing by your Spirit in our hearts. And I ask you, I know sometimes it's tough after a meal, Lord, to concentrate and focus, but Lord, I pray for your grace here for this session and ask that you'd complete that good work you've begun in us, Father, that we'd run to the finish line here with grace and in victory, and that you would do in us what you've purposed to do this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen. Wondering, just to encourage you that the many things I'm teaching on are in this book, and just published this book a year ago. It was really a result of 4 years of just being in the school of prayer when God called me to pray a house of prayer. And there's whole sections in here on what we talked about last night: presence, structure, spontaneity, prayer mandates, and make me a house of prayer. And then the whole ministry of the watchman intercessor. And I'm going to kind of press into that a little. I just feel this. I was going to preach on something totally different, but I just felt like the level of God's call in the congregation here. I just sense a deep call to intercession and prayer. You're like a forerunner church. There are certain models, churches, that God raises up to provoke others in a good way, in a godly way, to want to experience that too. And I just sense many intercessors in this room, that specific call upon your life, and want to talk. So there's a whole section on the watchman ministry intercession calling. I'm just going to touch on a couple things on that this afternoon. And then the whole thing of praying prayers that get answered, some of the things we talked about this morning, and then overcoming obstacles to prayer. So anyway, you might, if you want to, you can take a look at that. It's I don't, unfortunately. So the book is just at cost, it's $10. So if you're interested, feel free to take a look. You know, it's been said things are better caught than taught. I really believe that. So many things spiritually, you know, it's impartation that changes our heart. It's a touch from God. It's being in his presence. And I was thinking back my early days of ministry as a pastor. You know, I've always had a call upon my life for prayer. In fact, the only angelic appearance I've ever had in my life was the first year I was a Christian. An angel actually appeared in our bedroom at night and called me to a life of prayer. So, you know, that's obviously going to radically change your life when that kind of thing happens. But I've had my ups and downs in it. And there was a season in my life where, you know, I was sort of flagging in zeal. And I was the head of this church. And, you know, I went to this conference and just have a hunger of prayer. And there was a whole track on prayer. So I went to it. And there was a guy that in that track, one of the speakers in that track, was a nationally known guy at that time for prayer. He'd written books on prayer. He just had a prayer anointing in his life. He had an amazing church that he built basically from prayer. And there was a full room in this conference center, probably 1,000 people. And being the eager beaker that I was right in the front row. And then there was a platform right there. And at the end of the message, say, anybody who wants an impartation for prayer, you know, come forward. So I'm having to be, so I just, you know, I'm stepped right, come right forward. And he's right on the stage, and so when he comes down, you know, on the stage, he's at the edge of the stage, and all these people are crowding forward. I'm the guy right there, so I'm the token guy, and he puts his hand on my head, and he's praying impartation, you know. So I got bolts of lightning through me, and I sensed God there, but, you know, I didn't know what all God did. I went home. I started at 5:30 a.m. prayer meeting. I just thought, I'm 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, for the church. That impartation just downloaded something into me. I just hunger, a joy, a willingness. And I led that 5:30 a.m. prayer meeting for 5 years in our church. It just like, boom, you know, God just dumped something on me. And there was a grace. And I emphasize that. There's a grace that comes upon us when there's an impartation. I just, that's what I'm praying for Light of Christ, that just God would just really do exceedingly abundantly above anything you ask or think in terms of a download impartation for you this weekend. And I'd be glad to pray for any one of you after this session or tomorrow. Doesn't have to be a long prayer, but just I'll be glad to lay hands on you and just say, God, you know, release it, impart it to you. If it's something you'd like, I definitely want to be available to do that. So I want to just talk about intercession. We talked a little bit about it in previous sessions, you know, out of Ezekiel, you know, to stand in the gap and build up a hedge. And this passage in Ezekiel has, I'll be honest with you, it has gripped my heart in the last couple months. God spoke to me out of this as I've been praying for the election in our country. I want to read it. It's in Ezekiel 4 and 5. If you want to turn your Bibles, you can. But again, Ezekiel is being taken in the spirit to Jerusalem from Babylon, and God showing him stuff about and showing him how to pray and prophesy regarding Jerusalem and what's happening in Jerusalem. You know, they brought all kind of detestable idols into the temple, and it was a mess. And the Lord called, he had this vision. The Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit on his side. Well, turn to the whole thing here. Ezekiel 9, I'm going to start at verse 1. Then I heard him call out in a loud voice, said, "Bring the guards of the city here, each with a weapon in his hand." And I saw six men, this is verse 2 in Ezekiel 9, coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And with them was a man clothed in linen who had a writing kit at his side. And they came and stood beside the bronze altar. Now this is in the court of the priests. The bronze altar is in front of the entrance to the temple, the porch where the two bronze columns are. And then you enter into the Holy of Holies. It's the door of the temple. And now the glory of the God of Israel went up from above the cherubim where it was in the Holy of Holies, or it had been, and it moved to the threshold of the temple. It comes out to the porch of the temple. And then the Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side and said to him, "Go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament." And I think this verse says, "weep and sigh," the New Living Translation. Those who weep and sigh over all that they're weeping and sighing, grieving and lamenting over all the detestable things that are being done in it, in the temple. And I listened, and he said to the others, "Follow him through the city and kill without showing pity or compassion. Slaughter old men, young men, maidens, women, and children, but do not touch anyone who has the mark. Begin at the sanctuary." Now, there's a lot could be said about this passage, you know, but for the point of our focus today, it's noteworthy, it's significant that those who have the mark have God's favor. And I believe with all my heart that those who weep and sigh, those who grieve and lament over the detestable things that are going on around about them have the mark of intercession upon them. That God so imparts, you know, through intercession. What happens in intercession, you know, it transforms us and makes us more and more like Jesus. Ultimately, that's the whole goal, to become like Jesus. And we begin to carry more and more of his heart and his perspective. Prayer brings perspective on the world around us. And God is releasing a grace in this day, an impartation of his heart in intercession and prayer that oftentimes expresses itself in grief and lament and mourning and sighing. And you just can't believe what's going on around you. And I always think of Lot, you know, it says his righteous soul was vexed daily as he sat at the city gate of Sodom. And I just ask people, this has kind of been my standard ask, is what makes you weep and sigh? You know, what makes you weep and sigh? You know, you look at our nation, you look at the condition of our nation, maybe it's that. Maybe it's some things in your community. Maybe it's a loved one who's walked away from God. I mean, there are multitude of things that can make us weep inside. The point is to yield to and let the Holy Spirit begin to grip your heart with the things that grip the heart of God and begin to turn that into prayer. There's a favor. There's a blessing that you see. And judgment begins at the house of God. You notice this man begins at the temple. That's why God is calling the church in this day and hour to holiness. God's calling the church to consecration like never before. First love, devotion for Jesus. God is moving mightily in this day to separate, you know, out the righteous, the godly, or righteous by faith. You know, it says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." And God is calling the church to himself. And so, you know, what makes you weep and sigh? And if you, I don't know about you, but the first time a spirit of intercession came over me, I was just a new Christian. You know, it was probably the second or third year I was a Christian. And there was a man in our congregation who was unemployed, a big hulk of a man. And he was in the church service, and we were in a service where kind of an informal prayer meeting, and somebody said, you know, the pastor said, before I was even a pastor, he said, why don't you turn to your neighbor and find out how they're doing and pray for them? And Big John turned around, and, you know, I knew he was unemployed, and he shared a little bit. And I just started weeping uncontrollably. I thought, what is happening to me? I'm just weeping, you know, as I'm praying for him. And, you know, that spirit of intercession came over. I felt like a fool, this big guy, and I'm just standing there weeping. But, you know, God wants to grip our hearts. God wants us to get in the flow of the Spirit where we're sometimes expressing his emotion. And so I want to just spend some time just this afternoon just sort of talking about some key factors that are part of intercession, the call to intercession, and the call to deeper levels of fulfilling the assignments that God gives us as believers from the place of prayer. You know, intercession is really love on its knees. That's what intercession is. It's love on its knees. It's expressing our love for the world that God has put around us, for the people of God, you know, from our knees. I mean, obviously it doesn't stop there. We've got to show deeds as well. But there's something about prayer that expresses the heart of God like nothing else. Now, I don't have slides for this. I just felt the Lord to insert this place. But I just want to talk very quickly. And if you want to take notes, I don't have a slide for it. But I'm going to give you six things that are the biblical basis for intercession. In other words, this is the equipment God gives us to intercede effectively when we're praying. It's taken right out of the Bible. We could look. There's three significant prayers in the Bible that I could use. One is a prayer of Moses, as we talked about earlier, for Israel. The other prayer is a prayer from Daniel. And then there's a prayer from Nehemiah. And I'm going to use the prayer from Nehemiah because it illustrates all six of these principles. And I'm not going to take a lot of time on it. But, you know, it says in Isaiah 1:18, I love this verse, come and let us reason together. I believe there's something in the heart of God. There's a reasoning process that often happens in prayer where we're actually, you know, we're sort of going dialoguing with God, bargaining. And I know, have you already preached on Abraham, his prayer for Sodom, or is that coming up? You did. There's a case in point, you know, just how he reasons with God on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, if there's 45, right, there's, you know, he's going back and forth. And God loves it when we reason with him from a place of prayer. And so let me just very, very quickly give you the four, and I'm going to use Nehemiah. So if you want to turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 11, I'm just going to read this prayer, and at each point I'm going to point out what these different biblical bases for intercession are out of Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. And I'll start at verse 2 just to catch you up. Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things, what did he do? Sat down and what? He wept. There you go. I mean, there it is. He's weeping for Jerusalem. I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to weep for our nation. Lord, I want to feel your emotion for our nation. And there are, you know, glimpses I get of that, but I want more. I want to experience the heart of God. And so he sat down and wept, and for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, then he has this prayer, and he starts out and he says, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. The first appeal he makes here is appeal to God's character. That's a strong argument in our intercession for anybody. God, you're a gracious God. You're a loving God. You're a forgiving God. You're a merciful God. In Exodus, Moses says, you're a compassionate and gracious God. You're slow to anger. You're abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to a thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion. I mean, he's appealing to the character of God. God, you're a loving Father. That's what I've been praying for our little Sophie, who lost her little kitty. Lord, you're a loving Father. Comfort Sophie's heart. Lord, if you can, bring Lucy back. You know, bring Lucy home. That's just a strong appeal. You're appealing to the character of God. And then Nehemiah says, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, this is verse 6, to the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. There are two things here. The second thing is, he appeals on the basis of humility. Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. And I come humbly before you. And there's something about appealing to God on the basis of our dependency, our utter dependency upon him. It says in Isaiah 57, 15, I live in a high and a holy place and with those whose spirit are contrite and humble. He's close to those who are brokenhearted and to those who are crushed in spirit, we're told. He gives grace to the humble but resists the proud, we're told in James. And so there's something about just coming humbly. God, I'm but dust and ashes, but Lord, you are the God of heaven. You're a gracious God. You're a loving Father. And so you're just appealing on the basis of who you are in relationship to God. And then the third thing, which is so important in intercession, is identification. I confess the sins we Israelites have committed. We, you know, he's identifying with the people for whom he's praying. And I mentioned Moses so identified. He said, you can blot me from the book of life. And Paul in Romans 11 says basically the same thing. God, I would, you know, for the sake of salvation of the Jews, I'm willing to, you know, give it all up. And so there's an identification. There's nothing that changes our prayer life more than walking a mile in the shoes of those we're praying for, you know. In fact, that sometimes can release the weeping as you begin to identify with the suffering of the suffering church or the suffering of someone. And the more you can identify, the more cachet I believe you have with God in terms of seeing your prayer get an answer. So identification is a huge one in intercession. And you'll see that everywhere in the Bible. I and my father's house have sinned. And then it says, verse 8, and remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are in the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling place for my name. What's he appealing to here? We talked about it. The promises of God. He's appealing according to God's word. He's appealing to the promises of God. And we know, we've talked a lot about that today. So God's promises are huge. And then in verse 10, they are your servants and your people whom you've redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. This is a really interesting one. He's appealing on the basis of God's past dealings. God's past dealings. This is number 5, God's past dealings. I love this one because you can say, God, you know, maybe you're facing a financial difficulty. God would just have you remember, God, you bailed me out 5 years ago when we were in a really difficult place. God, I know that you're faithful. I know that, Lord, from past experience, I know that you can do it again. You can do it again. I was praying a year ago for our daughter, youngest daughter. She was in the middle of a miscarriage. I was just crying out to God for her because she so wanted a child. This was her second miscarriage. She's got I think she had 3 kids at that time. They were trying for number 4. I can't remember what the order was. And God gave me a song. Once again, you will do what you've promised. Once again, you will come through for me. I just got this song, this rephrase, once again, once again. Lord, as you were faithful to Abraham, once again, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. Well, that miscarriage didn't stop, but she got pregnant again, and she just had a baby a month ago. So God answered the cry of her heart. But that whole thing, once again, God, you did it in the past. You're going to do it again. I just know you're going to do it again. You're faithful. And then the last thing here is verse 11. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man who delight in revering your name. The sixth appeal is God's glory and reputation. God, you know, all the nations know that you brought these people out of Egypt. You got to bring them into the promised land. I mean, you see so many places, different people appealing to God's glory and that his reputation is at stake. And so those are the six and that God has. God's character, God's our humility, identification, God's promises, God's past dealings, and God's glory. Okay. Well, I want to, and I've already touched on this, but I want just to consider Jesus' great mandate or the great consecration. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. I believe this is a word that God's releasing to the church today. And what does that mean practically for Light of Christ? What does that mean? Now, obviously, it's an important mandate. It's an important call from Jesus. I call it his last will and testament. You know, that last week in Jerusalem, four different occasions, he called his disciples and his people to prayer. First with the call to prayer in the temple, my house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. Then the next day, he's on the Mount of Olives, and he's talking about watching and praying because the times are coming, the times of the end are coming. And then on Thursday morning, his discussion about talking about the great command, the importance of prayer, asking it will be given, seeking you shall find, the whole thing about asking the Father for anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Three times he talks about that in the upper room, and then, of course, in the garden when he calls his disciples to watch and pray with him. And so I don't have to say anything more about how important this is, this whole thing is.